How's everybody doing?
Fantastic.
We're going to do the workshop just a little bit different than we normally have been doing. And when I say that, we're going to have our clerk do a roll call because these meetings are taped. And so in order for us to know who's actually at the meeting, and she's going to do a roll call, we need to know the names of the attendees. So I'm going to let Jennifer do the roll call for the workshop, January 22nd, of Fairburn City Council.
Okay, roll call. Mayor Elizabeth Carhurst.
Present.
Mayor Pro Tem James Whitmore.
Present.
Councilman Alex Heath.
Present.
Councilman Pat Phelan.
Present.
Councilwoman Portis Jones.
Present.
Councilman Ulysses Smallwood.
Present.
Mayor Olive present.
Thank you so much. The first item on the agenda is a presentation. We have two presentations tonight. The first one is IT in a Box, and the second one is going to be by the collaborative firm. So if you would come up.
Hello, everyone. I'm Dave Mims with GMA's IT in a Box, and what I'd like to put in your hand is information first about the program.
And it's in the package.
It's in the package as well. Just as a quick overview, the IT in a Box program is GMA's offering for technology services. And when we originally launched the program, we had two tenets when we looked at the membership across the state. One is it had to be comprehensive to meet the needs of our smallest city to our largest, and also had to be affordable to meet the needs of our smallest and our largest. And when you look at the package, it is comprehensive. We're starting out, first with fixed costs. Number two is new city website, comprehensive design. We manage the content. We train your staff on managing the content if you have those that like managing content within the departments. We provide data backup with unlimited offsite data backup storage. And I want to stress that part, unlimited. Typically, when you look at data storage, your cost is going to be as your data grows. And the biggest consumers of data is usually the police department. You can give them as much as you can, and they're going to want more. That's just the nature of it. We also provide records management and document management. We apply the record retention policies that your city has adopted. We provide email and email archiving. And when we begin to manage city records and email, we'll help your clerk process open records requests. We provide video archiving. The cost related to body cameras and squad cars, not the cameras, it's the storage. And we're providing video archiving as a part of that. We also provide cybersecurity and cyber protection. Our staff is GCIC certified. We're GCIC vetted. We understand what it means in working with public safety. We're 24/7. That means if there's an issue at 2 a.m, we're working it. If we need to be on site, we're there. Policy and compliance, no long-term contract. We believe we should be serving you well or not at all. There's a lot in the program, and I want to be careful of your time tonight. But the things that I want to stress is when we look at your environment, we're going to address the issues you've got today. Things like email, being able to keep email up and running, communicating with each other, communicating with the citizens. We're going to address the issues you've got with email. We're going to be addressing the issues that you've got with IT responsiveness. It's my understanding sometimes you're down for days, whether it's the internet, whether it's email. Those issues we're going to address. I personally feel, number one, we've got to respond quickly, we've got to communicate well, and we've got to be visible. And I tell staff that again and again and again. We're going to address software issues that you've got. Even when you look, these are things that you see. These are the things that your staff are getting frustrated with today, whether it's the software, also the things that you see related to even your website. I'm sure there's high costs there. The things that you don't see that you should be concerned about. This is the equipment that your servers are running on. These are home-built boxes. These are boxes better than 10 years old. These are high risk. When you look at even the software that these are running on, this is freeware. This is outdated software. What I'm stressing to you now is the cybersecurity risks that you have as an organization. You've got high risk with data loss when you think about protecting city data and city assets. Data network equipment. When I think about the network equipment, some of this equipment is so old, it's like trying to operate on a two-lane highway instead of the interstate. This is equipment that should be replaced and removed so that you can have better performance on the network. And then also there's the risk of unlicensed software. Those are risks that we're going to address. So I've tried to quickly run through it to give you an idea of the risks that you've got, the things that we're going to address with IT in a box. I'd really like to take questions and answer any questions that you've got.
I have one.
Mm-hmm.
May I? Sure. You spoke about the different services that you provided, and you also spoke about our various risks. The price that you've quoted, that is for software and support. Does that include equipment? What's the separate cost for that? And is there a plan for replacing all of the equipment?
Very good question. So when you think about IT in a box, and on this sheet, you see all the different services and software that we're providing. The thing that you need to know is what's listed on this sheet, email, for example, data backup and disaster recovery, document and records management, the tools that we use to monitor and protect your environment, the servers, the software, the hardware, the licensing, the labor, the 24/7 labor, and all future upgrades related to these software elements are all included. It's included in the price. The software for your staff, like Microsoft Office on their desktop, included in the price. The emails included in the price. The things that aren't would be things similar to your utility billing software that we don't offer in the package today. That software and the hardware related to it, you come to us for procurement. We do not upsell or resell the hardware or the software. Instead, what we do is we go and get either at the state contract, or because of the volume that we do, we can typically beat the state contract, and you pay the vendor that price directly. There's no upsell or resell related to it. So if, say, for example, your clerk's PC may be, let's say, 10 years old. It needs to be replaced. We already know her role, the application she's running, the systems that she's running on there. We can do the quoting and procurement for you for that device, and you would pay the cheapest price possible for it for that device.
Follow-up question.
Mm-hmm.
There is uniformity, right? Everybody will have this same type of equipment.
Good question. So if you've got the quote in there, one of the things that you'll notice on page, and I got to grab my glasses.
It's in your package.
Number four.
Under tab four.
So what we do is we support the subscribed users. So say, for example, the city manager. She may have a desktop and a laptop and one that she carries while she's on the road.
Mm-hmm.
We charge you for one user, and we support all of her devices.
Right.
It's just covered.
Right.
And then most of your users will have just one device.
Okay.
So if you look on page four, what you'll see is you've got 112 what we would call subscribed users, but you've got about 137 devices and additional servers. All of those are covered under this package. So that, and I can show you at the top. Don't mind me reaching over here.
Not at all.
So,
but does that mean we all will have a Dell or Apple or you know, whatever manufacturer we choose, we will all have it?
So
or will different departments or different individuals have different brands?
I always recommend standardizing,
okay.
Always. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing to know with that, too, is that as we procure this equipment and we provide this equipment, I want to make certain that you get the right equipment to have in place. And the reason why is we're fixed costs. I want to get you the right equipment because if I don't, it becomes my nickel on supporting that equipment instead of some hourly charge, which whose burden is it at that time to get it done quickly?
Mm-hmm.
Because we're fixed costs and I'm trying to make certain that you get the right equipment, it's a win-win.
Okay.
you've got the right equipment in place, and I've got the right equipment that can help reduce my cost in serving you. Good question.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Any other, Mr. Whitmore?
Thank you.
I'm good.
I asked this question before when we met about a year ago, but just as a refresher, one of the things that I'm concerned about is equipment throughout the city. So now, as you're coming in as IT in the box, you're identifying equipment, you're gonna have a listing of all the equipment and where is that assigned to who, all right? And then when we do audits, we should be able to find said equipment where it should be. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
Right. We're gonna have a network layout of everything that you've got here. But also what we do, we see it with every city that we onboard. There's always what we call a stabilization period. Please don't feel that you're unique. In other words, we see it again and again and again. Most of our cities are better than 8 to 10 years behind in technology. They're serving the community. They're focused on the hot fires that they're putting out. And this becomes an issue when it becomes that hot fire, the same challenges that you're faced with today. When we onboard you, we're going to begin stabilizing your environment. And we're going to identify the immediate needs that must be done today. These are high-risk needs. We've got to do it now. We're going to also be identifying the near-term needs that need to be addressed. And we're also going to be identifying additional needs that you should begin budgeting for to get replaced within that next year. And we're going to work toward getting you stabilized, getting you modern, and then keeping you modern moving forward, mitigating all the risks that you've got today related to technology. And I can't stress to you enough, not keeping your equipment patched and updated creates high risk for cyber attack. What you see in the news today is the tip of the iceberg. It's the tip of the iceberg. And think about even the Equifax breach. You know what the cause of it was? Unpatched computers. That was your data. Our 128 million Americans at risk because it wasn't patched. The WannaCry virus last year that hit all of these countries, the largest attack at that time, unpatched computers. This is high risk. And it's things that should be, it's the same thing as trying to care for your trucks that are on the road. This has to be done with equipment that's managing city data.
Councilman Heath is next, and then our city administrator is after Mr. Heath.
If I'm not mistaken, when we got our police department with the cameras, it came with a package to where, if I'm not mistaken, Chief, doesn't have unlimited storage, and then after so many years, it replaces the cameras.
Yes, sir. That's correct. We currently do have unlimited cloud storage to buy camera footage for Taser.
Right. So, I mean, is the where you can pick and choose what you want in the systems you get?
So if you've got that offering, that's good. Mm-hmm. 75% of our cities, this is what we found, 75% of our cities don't have the luxury of being able to do that first. Number two, what they're doing is they're buying the largest server that they can afford and hoping it never runs out of data.
Right.
That's not a long-term plan, right? The reason why we've added this into the program is when we, just know this, when we first launched the program, it did not have video archiving. But when the body cameras became an issue and data storage became an issue, we actually added it to the program and didn't change the price. This was a benefit to being a part of the program for our cities. And we're continuing to look at additional benefits to be able to add to the program. But jumping back to your point, most of the cities don't have that. Instead, what they're doing is they're buying a larger server. Because of the volume of video, they're not even backing it up.
Right.
They're not handling for disaster recovery. And what they're finding out, it's running out very quickly. They're not backing it up off-site to mitigate those risks because they can't afford the storage related to it, or they can't afford the packages for unlimited. We introduced those, and it's addressing it for those cities. I mean, there's a lot of cities that are saving a lot of money because of that. When you get to the point to renew that package, what you need to assess at that point is the renewal, can we save dollars by not renewing it if you're already into an agreement with them,
right,
and let us cover it under this package.
Right.
But you'll have that option.
Okay.
In other words, my goal is to save you money.
Is any of the hard drives going to be stored like physically here in the city, or are they at your place of business?
So first things first. Each component that you see in IT in a box, We work toward federal, state, and local compliance.
Okay.
We're gonna maintain compliance.
Okay.
Number two, when you, if you're asking about the data backup and disaster recovery,
right,
there's two components to it that we do. We monitor that real time. It's a priority one when we see there's a data backup issue. And then number two, I'm not hoping we can recover your data. I know we can because we test it on a quarterly basis.
Okay.
We test it so that we know. But what we do with the data backup piece is, in addition to that, we do it twofold. We put an appliance on site that's backing up throughout the day.
Okay.
The reason why we put an appliance on site is because the fastest place to recover from is right here. Can't get any faster than that. We also move the data off to our data centers so that we're geographically far from you, and these are secure, geographically far from you in case you lost the building and we lost the equipment, we're gonna recover it. So we have that piece on site just for speed to recover. I wanna recover and recover fast. And then if worst case happens, a disaster, we're always got your data off site.
Okay.
It's additional redundancy.
We will, all the computers will be inventory and they will be tagged. So we know what computer goes with what person. And also, for everyone's clarification, he did meet with the staff, with a large portion of the staff, so they can ask questions and they can get a feel for where we are right now and where we're looking to go for the future.
That was a much better response. I could have done it just, yes, they will be tagged. Thank you, Ms. Gale.
Are there any more questions?
Yes, I have one. The price we have for this year, 7 months, I believe, what are some factors that would escalate the cost in the next budget cycle, so that we can anticipate and prepare for that?
Another good question. So what we do, what we do with IT in a Box is we lock in our fees for the year. And then on an annual basis, so that it's predictable, we adjust pricing by either CPI or 3%. So it's just predictable. In other words, typically when you think about IT costs, it just looks ugly. It's the unpredictable, mm-hmm. We don't know what's happening. It's just predictable. The things that would be in addition to that would be things that we're not providing as a part of IT in a Box. For example, let's say that it's a utility billing software and it was at an upgrade point. Well, we're going to work toward providing that for budgeting so that you can plan for it within that next year.
Okay.
Whether it's professional services with that vendor. And here's the thing to know. We're going to take on as much as can be covered under IT in a Box that they would charge you for. We're going to try and take that on as a part of the program. And anything that is not within scope, they would charge for those services. But we would help negotiate it and plan for it and then budget for it.
Okay.
Thank
well, thank you so much. This item is number 4 on our agenda for approval tonight. Thank you, Ms. Mann.
Thank you.
Our next presentation is by Mr. Michael Hightower with the collaborative firm.
Good evening, Mayor, Council, and State Manager. Glad to be here and happy to have us back again. I'm joined by some familiar faces, obviously. Ian Jones, who you guys see every day, almost every day, and Amanda Plymouth, who for some time has family groups here in Fairwind and that's been working with Tariqa along with the other planning staff. In your package, you have a document that kind of outlines what we have proposed for this year's work plan. And I'll leave in that document that kind of outlines all the things that we have in the task force. Let me also add that the number may seem a little high, but it's about 29,000 of that amount was in last year's budget. It was essentially Ms. Gayden, who's also a strictly for dollars, tells me there are no carryovers, but that was those money that were in last year's budget. So if you just kind of mentally consider that as part of the money that was last year's budget that we did not expend at that time, as you hear, because there were some other staff changes going on, we chose to hold off until if you get a better footing in terms of the staff here. So again, that number looks high, but it's not as high as it looks. I want to just briefly go through everything. Item one, task order, this is zoning code audit, and essentially, the background, of course, is that first paragraph kind of, it kind of states what the city council approved last year, and the process was for a 3-year zoning code audit process. And the reason we did 3 years last year, obviously being considered a budget time and talking with our planning staff, that way it could be done over an extended period of time and spreading out the cost for that process. Only, Matt, you want to just kind of briefly talk about what's going to happen on that subject, Matt?
Sure. So we kind of kicked off this process in the past year, but as Michael indicated, due to some staff changes, our firm actually stepped in for some time to provide some planning services. And we thought that we would get to a more stable point so that we could work closely with staff as we go through these changes. What we have started to do in moving, you know, through that first phase of the project is to really get familiar with the city's current zoning ordinance. Of course, the overall goal is to bring it in line with the city's comprehensive plan. So becoming familiar with the current development regulations, as we look back at that comprehensive plan of the city's overall goals, is going to help us start to outline the recommended changes that we need. So we have started doing that. We have also started working with your planning staff to look at the zoning map and identify some current inconsistencies there.
Let me just add, the zoning code update is a normal process that follows your comprehensive plan update. Update the plan, then you got to tweak what's in the plan based upon the zoning ordinance, and then that's basically, it's a normal process. Our firm has done this throughout Metro Atlanta. We've done it in a variety of places. As a matter of fact, on tonight's agenda in the city of Tyrone in Fayette County, they are doing the first reading of redoing their zoning ordinance. That's being done right now. Amanda's also doing a very similar project with the city of College Park, and that's, they haven't done theirs in over how many years, 50 years, perhaps?
Yeah, it was a very old
code. Old code in College Park. Don't tell them I said that. Hopefully they didn't. But that has been a, man, she has been a trooper with that one. We've also been recently hired by some other staff that we have in the city of Stonecrest. We have been involved with their kind of development, but also their comprehensive plan, and next year we'll be doing their zoning code update as well. So, again, it's a logical process, and we have about 11 planners on staff total, which is more than many cities. So we have a lot of capacity on staff to conduct this type of work. And we think that will help working in conjunction with your staff and the city attorney to make sure that that's a smooth process and it needs to be done. So let me just pause and see if there are any questions on that item.
Just so you know, there is a timeline in the packet.
Yeah, okay.
With the different hats and action.
Yes, sir. And this is probably more attorney's question, because I think in communicating with planning and zoning probably about 8-9 months ago, there was some discussion about some of our residential areas off of not John Rivers, but the other street in the back. I can't think of the name right now. But there was some. I'm sorry. I heard it. Rivertown Road.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that we was going to start looking at that in conjunction with what Mike was doing. Has that merged together? And then
I can ask Valerie. I'm not sure if that was a conversation.
We talked about that with Amanda and Michael with some of the modifications that we would have to make, making also some changes to our comprehensive plan.
Mm-hmm.
Since it was adopted in 15,
right.
We've made some zoning changes as well as land use changes. So it'll all be meshed together in one process.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Tree. As a follow-up question?
Yes, ma'am.
Just a second. Have you finished, Mr. Councilman Whitmore?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Ms. Porter-Jones?
Several of the classes that I've attended this Mayor's Day, the issue of strategic planning as your overall guiding document was the center of discussion on all of those. And we're now talking about several component plans, the comprehensive plan, doing some of the zoning. But are we doing those absence as strategic plan? or do we have a plan to develop strategy to, as a guiding principle of the city?
The normally, and I yield to the planning expert, but the normally adopted documents, many people use the word strategic plan in a variety of ways, but the adopted policy documents are generally the comprehensive plan, zoning ordinance, and of course, subsequently, which you guys have now done, have an economic development plan. Those are the policy documents that are regular, that are generally regarded by the Department of Community Affairs and Planning. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. So we're really looking at the comprehensive plan to kind of be our framework for this, and to make sure that we are taking into account though not just the comprehensive plan, but the other development plans that the city has adopted. So we want to look at all these plans comprehensively to make sure that what we're looking at with the zoning ordinance is getting more in line with those strategic plans. Right now, it's not, because since we've updated that comprehensive plan, which is really the city's development strategic plan, is now making the zoning ordinance out of line. So the goal is to move towards that and get everything in alignment.
Okay, so
the
comprehensive plan is our guiding document?
Yes.
Is that what we're saying?
Yes, ma'am.
That's correct.
Now, some people use the word strategic plan for comprehensive plan.
Okay.
But technically speaking, the comprehensive plan is the Bible of being used.
Thank you.
All right. We're going to turn now to part two in your tabs. If you would refer to part two, we talked about the kind of development strategic plan. And by way of background, our new member of council, the city embarked, Ms. Portis Jones, I think, 2 years ago, led the effort on council, the bulk of the board, to have an economic development strategic plan. And I think that first document was Fairbus' first guiding principle, which we have here. I want to thank you guys for taking the bold step. Mm-hmm. Let me also add that there are some other cities that are asked to look at this document. It's a public document,
mm-hmm.
and the word has gotten around, and so a few folks have said, what did Fairbus do? So that says a lot about the things that you guys did from your forward thinking process. I'll make sure that we get you a copy, sir, and make sure you can get them a copy. But this was the guiding principle that laid the groundwork, Ms. Portis Jones, for this first step.
Mm-hmm.
Following that document, last year, of course, we went on to implement some of the steps. And let me just say, in part, if you look at section two, it talks about the variety of things. I'm going to just go back to the following that page on section two. And I apologize, the page is not numbered. I'm going to give you an overview of 18, and I'll let Ken kind of give a brief view of comments about some things that he has already hit the ground running on. He's done such a good job. I said, King, don't go too fast. I know he's younger than me and has more energy than I have. So, but he has really done a good job of hitting the ground running. On the next page, or after the item number two, we have outlined clear protocols for routine tasks. So when he's here in City Hall, standard hours, there are things that he can do at all times. And that's very clearly laid out as he reports to the city manager. One of the things that I do like what he's doing, and I would say that he is already looking at a variety of new ideas. We had a long conference call this afternoon about the Betty Hannah campus, which we talked about how we can make that campus hopefully be far better utilized than it's been in the past. As you may recall, back in July, back prior to Ms. Gabe being here, we asked for your consideration of she's going to bring it back to you guys at the retreat, I believe, an RFP so that we could get some broker's help to fill the building.
Mm-hmm.
That's just one example, but in 18, we're going to work on the major four tasks. Number one is the Betty Hannah, and these are spelled out in the document policy plan. The number one is the Betty Hannah campus. Marketing the Betty Hannah campus and following the arranging the logistical legal rules that the bonds will follow that process. We may be giving you a conversation on that. Secondly, explore how we can further do more downtown active development and making some more strategic moves as it relates to Hudson Plaza and other parts of downtown. Thirdly, along 74, I know Councilmember Whitmore, you've expressed some great concerns, and you have so with Mr. Heath, about how do we get 74 off the ground. One of the things that we are looking at right now is talking to site locators to define parameters to bring certain types of retail and commercial along that corridor. And sometimes things don't just happen. Income, residents, proximity. So we expect to have hopefully a better aggressive effort on how we can make that happen. Part of the challenge was documenting who we are, what we got. in terms of demographics and income. And now that we have that, clearly that would be the next step. Finally, Ms. Gaten has been very active, and we'll be meeting with her on Wednesday again about having this marketing process to step up. Fairburn historically has not and we identified needs embark upon a different marketing strategy regarding how we sell the city.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of the pieces, that's the bullet four that we need to talk about. Ms. Palanca, you in this prior role, going to things like the Restaurant Association and others. We want to make sure, how do we build upon some of those things? Last year, when Ed was involved in two or three of those meetings, one of those you asked him to go to, the Restaurant Association. Mm-hmm. We have outcomes of those so we can move forward. The other was the ICSC Southern Conference at the shopping center. And again, those are some first-time things, so we have documented contacts there. And then finally, there was another piece that Cam went to this morning that talks about broadband, how to expand. Now, broadband is not an issue as much in metro areas, but still accessibility to infrastructure for development. So those are the four critical areas that we're going to focus on this year, and they're spelled out in the document before you. Ken, I want to let you just kind of end up with some of your highlights. Mm-hmm. He's been here 45 days, but he's worked like he's been for 6 months.
Madam Mayor, thank you for allowing me to speak to you and the council members
thank
today.
You.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be very brief. A few highlights. While I've been here, I've conducted a review of the studies such as the LCI and the comp plan, EDSP1. And then I'm going to our priorities. Highway 74, I began to meet with developers as well as restaurants looking to occupy space. I know that is a huge need, somewhere to sit down and have a good meal. Also establishing a business alliance of Highway 74 business owners so that they take part in ownership of what is going on, as well as drafting an RFP for real estate services so that we can pair up some developers and landowners with a restaurant. Betty Hanna, looking to do a workforce development project there. Now, conceptually, I look forward to producing a white paper to provide to city administrator, mayor, and the council. And we look to move forward. Let's do it. But that will be coming here.
Let me answer that. One of the things that, one of his great ideas he came with in week three, I asked him to look at what are some missed opportunities in the South Fulton that we don't have, that we have, that we can take advantage of. And what Kaylin came to talk to me about was there's no place south of the city of Atlanta that has a physical location that deals with strategic workforce development. And Ms. Jones, that was one of the things you talked about before, Mr. Heathie, as well. So that was one of his new initiatives, so we're now fleshing that out. Matter of fact, I'm gonna see Mr. Keith Parker, former CEO of MARTA, later this week, and mm-hmm. Goodwill does a lot of that, and Caleb's. So we're looking at three or four entities. We got it's an out of the box thinking, but I think that'll be one of the things that we can bring to this campus workforce. And I've also had an initial conversation with Chairman Pitts about it as well at Fulton County.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
So we're really excited about that. I would love to tell you about it right now, but I'm gonna hold up a little bit.
We're gonna get some more work on it first.
and then also, while doing that, we'll still look at drafting an RFP to see about additional services that could go into the Betty Hanna facility. Hudson Plaza and Downtown Development, we're doing a business breakfast in February, so part of that, I would like to really engage the owner of Hudson Plaza. I want him to be an integral part of what we do downtown, as his Hudson Plaza is. So looking to do that, and establishing and reestablishing the DDA and Main Street program for Downtown Development. Mr. Hightower also referenced what we're doing in terms of a marketing plan. We're engaging with the city administrator to figure out what the needs are. We have begun to speak with some print media folks so that they recognize the good work that's going on in mm-hmm. Fairburn, as well as our mayor and city administrator. Additionally, about a week or so ago, and I would like to thank Mr. Ridgeway publicly for taking me down, as well as the city administrator, to meet with the municipal cities of Georgia. They have a lot of resources that we could be using and taking advantage of. For a while we have a contractual relationship, so there are some things that they need to be doing for us that I will ensure that they do. And then finally, I had the pleasure of meeting with a lot of our department heads, and one of the best meetings I had was with Ms. Chapin Payne, so thank you for taking the time to meet with me about Duncan Park and Parks and Recreation initiatives. So we are looking to engage with the Hawks, the Falcons, the Braves to see what kinds of things they would love to do for us, as well as the NFL, NBA, and Major League Baseball. And that concludes my time.
In conclusion, thanks, Ken. Last year, we also had a chance to take a look at the things that Ed did. And he also, in addition to the concept that Ken talked about, he brought two tours to the Betty Hanna campus. One was the Electric City, the other was, of course, the Metropolitan College. One of the things that we're doing now, we're saying to the Metropolitan College, I'm trying to preempt your question, Ms. Boyce. You know, hopefully, put up a shut up. But also, one of the things that I would say that we're going to do at another level is that if we need to deal with the Board of Regents.
Mm-hmm.
See, we got to up the game to another level. One of the things that we want to do this year is also, I've had an initial conversation with Representative Bowden and Senator James about, you know, at the state level, how can they help us? We don't play at the right level.
Right.
We need to determine who on the Board of Regents, and
right.
Mayor Reed's wife is a member of the Board of Regents, as a matter of fact, Sarah. So I want to see at some point, because at the end of the day, the Board of Regents guides Metropolitan College, and also, and I was talking to another one of the representatives, Representative Bruce, I said, you guys, you know, there are certain things that you can't help us with, for obvious reasons, politically. Democrats are where they are, but on the other hand, you can bring some service and some leverage to some of those state agencies, state labor, Board of Regents. So we're going to exercise some of those relationships with our state leaders so that we can have someone from the Board of Regents to come down to Ferry.
Okay.
And this is thinking out of the box.
Mm-hmm.
We can't just do like we've been
right.
doing,
mm-hmm.
and if we do, we won't be here, and I ain't
right.
a fool.
Right.
So we're going to take it to another level and bring some other resources that are at our disposal that we haven't asked for before.
Okay.
And so those are, I've covered a lot in a short period of time, and I'm here to answer questions.
Are there any more questions for Mr. Hightower?
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Jones.
Yes, ma'am.
You mentioned about Hudson Plaza and its owner.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, I was under the assumption that that person was somewhat difficult to connect with, so they have found them, and okay, so that's fantastic. And they are receptive to the conversation that you've had regarding coming and working with us regarding some development in Hudson Plaza?
That conversation will happen when we actually invite them down. I'm just beginning to just open dialogue.
Okay, all right.
And Ed had those conversations last
okay.
year.
Great.
One of the things that I said I want to do, I want to find some strategic ways that we identify the 10 largest businesses in Fairfield. We need to do something. I mean, all businesses are special.
Mm-hmm.
However, some pay more freight than the others.
Yeah.
And I want to get some strategic ways how we can have some recognition for those that pay the most freight.
Right.
But also at the same time, as part of the plan that we talked to Ms. Gayden about, also talks about, and Ken is working with as well, a recognition breakfast for businesses, like an annual business recognition.
Right.
In the plan also, we're going to talk about how do we bring before mayor and council, with Ms. Gayden's direction, quarterly, a business recognition process. We also have one of the tactics in our long in the plan that we have. It's going to talk about ambassadors. And finally, the other thing that Ken is also working on is getting working with Tarika on the Main Street program. They've already reapplied for the Georgia
mm-hmm.
Main Street program through DCA. And how do we make that a more sustainable
right.
process? And of course, yesterday at the GMA, Ken sat in on some of the meetings that talked about the downtown DDAs in Georgia. And so those are some things that want to bring back into the flow. It's an aggressive year. He's a young man, he can do a lot, and
mm-hmm.
I didn't introduce him formally, but Caden is an undergrad. I'm the Clark Atlanta man, and Clark College is the best place in America. And he went to Morehouse, and is an undergrad from Morehouse, and a graduate degree from South Carolina State, and has a further certification from Harvard University, so he becomes well qualified. I know that was a long answer to your question.
It is, and in partial answer, the other part of the question was,
I appreciate, you know, the new businesses and the new economic development. We need to do that. Simultaneously, we also need the care and feeding of our existing businesses. And so I'd love to know what our plans are for that. I know you mentioned about the breakfast and the recognition, but in addition to that, what are we doing to formalize a program for them to let them know we care about them, we appreciate them, and quite frankly, they have ideas, they know people, so they can help us as well.
Yeah.
And so I'd like to hear more about that.
You may recall we had a breakfast about June of 16, 17, at the hotel.
Yes,
we had
need a follow-up to that.
But I think the key that's coming out, I must commend the council, coming out of this Bible, there are several specific activities, including how we institutionalize regular business retention things. So it's not happenstance.
Right.
And Ms. Gayton is very sick. This won't be a happenstance process.
Right.
It'll be certain times in the course of the year we will have business retention. We have recognition of new businesses.
That's
so
right.
It'll be institutionalized.
Yes.
Okay. And also mentorship programs so that our older established businesses mentor the new fledgling businesses,
okay.
So that we incorporate them.
And I've also talked to Dan Matthews of the South Carolina Chamber about, you know, where I work is finding ways how the chamber can spotlight the city of Fairburn in a different way.
Okay.
And so how do you spotlight Fairburn?
Sure.
And we're also looking at Mr. Dean. Yes, sir.
Yeah. In your company, also working with the South Brooklyn
we have to get it set up. They've hired their own director there, but I can be of help.
Okay. Well, I was just wondering. I hadn't heard anything that's been focused in our direction. So I was just wondering.
The status
they have a meeting scheduled.
On the 31st.
South Fulton, on the 31st. But we will be out of the city at a retreat.
That's right.
But they do have a meeting scheduled. Yes.
They had out a new executive director, Michael Davis.
Right.
And
I'm meeting with him this week.
Okay.
Yes.
Other questions?
Thank you so much. Did you have another question,
Councilman? Yes, real quick. So, and I know with all of your business relationships, I think Fairburn is also being mentioned in the context of Aerotropolis.
That's correct. I think one of the things with the Aerotropolis, they had a meeting at the Betterhead campus regarding workforce last year. So, tying into that, we're trying to determine how we can leverage Kay's idea to have the workforce piece be a piece that maybe we can bring to the Benihana campus. The answer is yes.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you, ma'am.
This item is number 3 on the agenda tonight for approval. The next agenda is council discussion. Is there anything members of council would like to bring before the body tonight? Okay, Mr.
I'd just like to tell the department heads how wonderful it was to have electricity during the snowstorm.
It was.
My power, my lights didn't even flicker. Y'all are doing an excellent job. Just keep it working.
Thank you. Councilman Whitmore?
Also the street department. I just happened to be one to go out in the middle of all that. Side four-wheel drive.
Okay.
But as I was driving around certain areas of the city, I was so happy to see that people can drive and get through.
Okay.
Good job.
Is there anything else for council discussion tonight? Okay, seeing none, we're going to go to the next agenda item, which is the review of our agenda for tonight. Let's start. Okay, the first item on the agenda tonight is going to be appointment for the Board of Appeal members. There are 4 appointments. Mr. Pally,
mm-hmm.
Are you prepared to make an appointment for the Board of Appeals this year?
If you need me to.
I do.
Okay.
I really do.
I'm going to tell you
what it is. Well, if you don't don't want to tell me tonight. Can you tell me tomorrow? Okay, please do. Okay, all right. Thank you.
So can he be voted on tonight?
Actually, these appointees will be voted on tonight. And we can add him to the, the agenda. But it's my understanding from Mr. Turner that these appointees will be official on Friday. They will not become official until Friday of this week. We have a zoning meeting, I think it's on Thursday. That's correct, on Thursday. And so we're going to make these appointments effective on Friday because they need to go through some training also. We can add Mr. Sumner here, and we'll, when we get to the dais, we'll make sure that that amendment is added to this, okay? So this will go on the full agenda because we have to have an addition. Item number two is the city.
Madam Mayor.
Oh, I'm sorry.
One more point here. I noticed on the backup documents of the agenda, there is an additional appointment from Mr. Wells. He's not listed on this agenda, but he is listed in the backup document for the agenda item. So it's natural that he should be considered for appointment tonight as well, I'm assuming.
Whose appointment is that?
Whitmore's appointment of George Wells.
Right, so I believe he went through the training.
He doesn't need to be reappointed, but this was really just given to the department for the full membership.
All right, so then the appointment for tonight then are the four people that we just discussed.
Right.
Thank you.
Okay.
I just want to make sure we were.
Okay.
Well, there would be five.
Yeah, five.
So there would be five.
With Mr. Sumner.
With Mr. Sumner. Okay, so item number two on the agenda is the city clerk. Ms. Elkins, you want to give us your information on the city clerk?
Yes, ma'am. That'll be for us to approve the 2008 meeting schedule for the mayor and council.
Mm-hmm.
You have that in your packet?
We do.
I believe I made some suggestions on cancellation of meetings that would conflict with either a convention that you guys are going to, or holidays.
Okay.
And I've also included in that list a list of when the agenda items are due from staff as well.
Okay. Council, you see the 2018 meeting schedule.
Yes.
Is there any objection to putting this on the consent agenda?
Question.
Okay.
December, let me see, what was it? The Thanksgiving, the Monday after Thanksgiving.
The November 26th
day? Okay, yes.
Yes, ma'am.
We usually cancel. We didn't do it this year, though, did we?
No.
No, okay. Mm-hmm. It was the one before that. And then December. Okay, then that's my question. All right. Thank you.
Okay, so is there a consensus to putting this on the consent agenda?
Yes.
Okay. Consent agenda is the 2018 mayor and council meeting schedule. The next item is city administrator task order for the collaborative firm. We just had a presentation, and that's going to go on the full agenda. It has to be voted on. And IT in the box. On the agenda. Community development, number five. Mr. Thompson, could you come up, please?
Good evening, Mayor and Council.
Good evening.
The purpose of this agenda item is to approve the supplemental agreement. you are paying $30,000 to 20% share through the South Florida CID. So what this is necessary to allow us to get reimbursed $120,000.
Are there any questions?
Any questions?
Are you saying that we've already paid this?
Our 20% shares aren't been paid by the South Florida CID.
Yes.
So what this is allowing us to do is get reimbursed.
Do we have any idea how long this reimbursement is going to take?
As soon as we get this signed, it should be within the next 30 days.
Okay. Is there any objections to putting this on the consent agenda? Consent agenda. Thank you, Mr. Thompson. The next item is Parks and Recreation Facility Use Agreement for South Fulton Little League for spring 2018.
This is the contract. Everything is standard except for the contract that we've approved in the past. Only difference is an additional amount for deposit. We added that amount just because of the amount of equipment that we're investing in baseball program this year. We just want to make sure we put something in that's taken with care. And if it's not, we have something that we can hold to. And then also the addition of an emergency plan from South Fulton Little League for them to give us an emergency plan that we'll have, and we'll also give to public safety. And then also the addition of CPR AD certified personnel there at all games and practices, but those are the only issues.
Okay. Are there any questions for Ms. Payne?
Yes, I have. was it first meeting in November, I believe it was, or last minute in October,
mm-hmm.
where representatives from South Fulton Little came to the meeting, mm-hmm. Long litany of issues and concerns about working with us and we starting our own program, competing with them. Have all those issues been resolved?
Yes. Some of that was a little bit misinformation on South Fulton's side, but we met the next day after that. And we had a series of meetings to kind of see what we can do to make sure their program is successful. So what we agreed upon is that Parks and Recreation will run the 3, 4, 5, and 6-year-old program. Mm-hmm. South Fulton Little League will run 7 to 14.
Okay.
This allows us to pay a little bit more attention in the development of baseball in the city of Fairburn at a younger age and then develop them through the program. We are still monitoring the Little League, which is the league that they're in, just to make sure that's the most beneficial for our players. But we met with Linda North, which is the Little League representative, to see how this year will go, and we're monitoring it, and we've also brought in, I was able to get Riverdale and College Park to agree to join Little League to see if we can bring something here to the South Fulton area.
Okay. And are there any, you worked out scheduling as well?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what days will they practice and use the field, and what days will you practice and use the field?
In the contract, they're only limited to fields 3, 4, and 5.
Okay.
3, 4, and 5 are the larger fields. The T-ball fields are the other additional fields that are up there at the top. They are to give us still a weekly schedule of what their scheduled practices are, and we'll work together to make sure that it meets both. But those fields won't be in use.
All right, and then one last question. We've worked out any conflicts with the Kickball.
Yes. Kickball hasn't come to me yet with their contract for this year. I meet with AJ on Thursday to discuss, but I have spoken with him. We have limited some things since we're investing in baseball and we're kind of upgrading some of our fields.
Okay.
There will be some additional things in their contract as well.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Mr. Whitmore, do you have a question?
Yes. So with the group that the city of Fairburn was handling,
mm-hmm.
we're going to have
volunteer coaches and one of our staff will serve as the liaison.
Okay. So you have T-ball and?
No, we have top ball and T-ball.
Top ball and T-ball.
Mm-hmm. Both hit off the tee.
So there's no concerns about?
No, not 3, 4, 5, 6.
Okay, thank you.
Everything's coach pitch until 9:10.
Any other questions?
One last question, I just remembered. A different subject, but relating to Mr. Jones and the economic development piece. Last year you came to us with flag football from the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any opportunities for us to timely take advantage of that now?
Yes, so we've been in contact. We're starting that process now to try to reach back out to them.
Okay.
They ended up doing their program at another facility here in Fairbanks. So I just need to, we're opening those lines of communication back up to see if they're willing to bring the program back to
Another facility? Where is that?
Score. They went to an indoor facility.
Okay, are there any objections to placing this on the consent agenda? No objection? It goes on the consent agenda. The last item on the agenda for tonight is Parks and Recreation, also Ms. Payne, operating schedule and fee schedule for the 2018 Duncan Park pool season.
So this is the 2018 fee and operating schedule. One addition that I have to add that was omitted is underwater aerobics. Where it says summer aerobics pass, that's the adult pass. We will still have the $25 senior pass for the summer. So I just wanted to put that back on record that we will have that, the $25 senior pass, and that's for water aerobics for the summer.
Okay.
The only other change from what we did last year is during the week, we'll do one swim session instead of two. That's just based on customer feedback and resident feedback and also with staffing, and then also the addition of some more swim lessons throughout the summer.
Okay, I see under your party admission tickets, you 1 to 20 is no complimentary tickets.
So we took that out. I'm sorry about that. Yes, we took that out as well, just because it was a little difficult to kind of track those complimentary tickets.
Mm-hmm.
So we're looking at some other incentives to try to do with whatever our caterer is, whoever we choose to be our concessionaire.
Mm-hmm.
We'll try to work something out with them to offer some other type of incentives for parties.
Okay. Are there any more questions? Is there any objection to placing this on the consent agenda?
I was going to say, I think you probably should need to vote in the full meeting to add in that senior aerobic pass.
Okay.
I think you need to just have a motion to approve this with that addition.
This will go on the regular agenda. To add in the senior pass that was omitted. Thank you. It is 7:00. It's time for the regular meeting. Thank you, everyone.
She does.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, Sam's dramatic. And she does commands as well. And, she can do two, you know.
Good afternoon, a good evening. I now call the meeting of the Fairburn City Council to order this 22nd day of January 2018. The clerk will now call the roll of the council.
Mayor Elizabeth Carhurst.
Present.
Mayor Pro Tem James Whitmore.
Present.
Jones, yes, present.
Councilman Ulysses Smollett.
Present.
Clerk, I have a quorum.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. We will now have the invocation by Minister Danita Jones. Please stand.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Lord, we come tonight lifting you up, Lord God, asking you to direct our mayor and the council. Father, we ask right now that every decision they make, Lord God, it will be a decision to propose the residents of this city, Lord God, and make this city great. Father, we ask right now that you would rain your blessing down upon them, Lord God. Father God, we thank you right now that the city of Fairburn will be a city, Lord God, that will be talked about all around the world. Lord God, we thank you for each one of our council members. We thank you, Lord God, that the mayor, Lord God, will bring good decisions and great things in this city. We ask right now, Lord God, that you will move by your spirit and your power. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have no presentations tonight, Madam Clerk. Thank you. How many people have signed up for public comments?
Only have one.
Only one? Okay. Would you call that speaker up, please?
Good evening.
Good evening.
I want to comment on the leak on Fayetteville Road that's been going on for over a year now. It seems to me that the Atlanta Water Authority does not care about it, and the road is now crumbling. It's impossible to avoid the big hole in the middle of the road when other people are coming the opposite direction. It's my opinion that the city should possibly fine the Atlanta Water Authority. Per day is not fixed. Maybe then they'll decide to fix it, since they have damaged the city's road. And regarding the IT in a box, I heard in workshop question asked if the price of equipment such as servers would be included. And I don't think that question was actually answered. And along the same line, would the city own all the on-site equipment to maintain the status quo should the contract be terminated, particularly in terms of backups? That's all.
Thank you, Mrs. Sumner. Your issues raised at this time will be referred to the city administrator, and a response will be forthcoming. Thank you. The next item on the agenda is the adoption of the council agenda for tonight. Item number one, the mayor and council appointments. It's on the regular agenda. Item number three, the city administrator to task order for the collaborative firm, the regular agenda. Item number four, the agreement with IT in a box in the amount of $120,400 is on the regular agenda. And item number seven, operating schedule and fee schedule for the 2018 Duncan Park season. Is there a motion to put these items on the regular agenda?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Palin. And second by Mr. Heath. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
That motion carries. For the consent agenda, it's item number two, the 2018 mayor and council meeting schedule. Item number five, the supplement number one with the Georgia Department of Transportation for the project framework agreement for the CR 1505 Oakland Industrial Boulevard from Fayetteville Road to SR 138 project. Item number six, facility use agreement for South Fulton Little League for the spring 2018 season. Is there a motion on the floor to approve these items for the consent agenda?
So moved.
Motion made by Mr. Whitmore, seconded by Mr. Smallwood. Those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? 5-0, that motion carries. Our agenda has been set for tonight. The next item on the agenda is the adoption of the city council member minutes. The first minutes is for December the 11th, 2017. Those minutes have been distributed to council for your review and approval. Is there a motion to approve the December the 11th, 2017 minutes?
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Whitmore. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Smallwood. Are there any additions or corrections to the December the 11th, 2017 minutes? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries. The next set of minutes on the agenda are the January the 8th, 2018. I think the clerk sent those minutes out on Friday. Is there a motion to approve the January the 8th, 2018 minutes?
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Whitmore.
Second.
Second by Mr. Heath. Are there any corrections or additions?
Yes, ma'am. Correction.
Okay, corrections?
The oath of office for Councilwoman Hattie Portis Jones was administered by Pastor Charles Ramsey. I would also ask if the program for the meeting be included with the minutes. And then lastly, I ask that all draft minutes be marked draft until they are approved by this body. Thank you.
Corrections have been made and are so noted by the clerk. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Okay, the first agenda item tonight is the appointment for the Board of Appeals members. Those appointments, and that's item number one. Those appointments are Mayor Elizabeth Carhurst, Brenda Cooper. Is Ms. Cooper in the audience? Thank you. Councilman Ulysses Smallwood, Larry Porte. Okay. Councilwoman Hattie Portis Jones, is Mr. Cochran, Thomas Cochran? Thank you. Reappointment for him. And Councilman Alex Heath, Derek Jones, that's a reappointment. Councilman James Whitmore, is Mr. Wells, Rufus Wells? He's a current appointment. And we have to add the appointment for Mr. Pat Pallon, who is Mr. James Sumners. So let the records reflect that we're adding, there needs to be, would you stand, Mr. Sumners? Thank you. Thank you so much. You all can be seated. Thank you so much. So we have to have a motion on the floor to include the appointment, the name for Mr. Sumner. Is there a motion?
I make a motion that we approve the appointees as published, in addition to adding Councilman Pat Pallon's appointee of Mr. James Sumners.
Is there a second?
Second.
That's correct. These let the records also reflect that these appointees will have to, would you amend your motion to include that the appointees will be effective on Friday the 26th?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
I make a motion that we approve the appointed published list of Board of Appeals members, in addition to adding Mr. Pat Pallon's, Councilman Pat Pallon's appeals appointee of Mr. James Sumners, making effective of January the 26th of 2018.
2018. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Heath. There a question?
Yes. Can we state for the record why the delay in the effective date?
Yes, ma'am. The presently constituted Board of Appeals has a matter pending before it right now. They were supposed to hear it last week. It had to be, the hearing had to be canceled because of the weather. That hearing has been postponed until this Thursday night. They're going to take that matter up and approve it. So we'd like to have that matter handled by a presently constituted board, and then that will give us time after Thursday to do some training for the new members that are coming onto the Board of Appeals. So that, and that will be constituted effective Friday.
Thank you.
We've had a motion and a second on the floor. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries. The next agenda item is, under our agenda, is the task order for the collaborative firm in the amount of $164,525. Mrs. Gayden, did you want to present this, or Mr. Hightower?
I will go ahead with Mr. Hightower's part claim.
Okay.
To present either one.
Mayor and Council, Ms. Gayden, before you tonight in your packets is the 2018 work plan and request for your consideration for both planning.
Mr. Hightower.
Oh, I'm sorry.
For the record.
Sorry about that.
That's okay.
Thank you, ma'am.
Mayor and Council, Michael Hightower, 1514 East Cleveland Avenue, the collaborative firm. In your package, you have before you the requested task order for 2018 professional services for both planning as well as our economic development ongoing support, and I would request your consideration and approval.
You have before you a task order for the collaborative firm LLC in the amount of $164,525. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Motion made by Mr. Heath.
Second.
Is there a second? Second by Councilwoman Portis Jones. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries.
Thank you, ma'am.
You're welcome. The next agenda item is the agreement with IT in a Box in the amount of $120,400 for IT services. Mr. Mims, would you come up, please?
Thank you, Mayor and Council. In your package, you should see an agreement for IT in a Box, GMA's IT in a Box.
Are there any questions for Mr. Mims?
I do.
Okay.
There was something that Mrs. Sumner brought up. In the event that the contract is canceled or whatever like that, what happens to the equipment that do we purchase it, the city I'm talking about, or is it furnished to your group?
So all of the equipment provided by the services of IT in a Box within our data centers, so that's equipment
that's
we
your,
own.
That's your statement.
Now, the equipment that is on-premise, for example, running your utility billing or the desktops and the laptops, those are city-owned assets,
okay,
and those remain city-owned assets.
Okay.
We will negotiate and make certain that they are purchased at the lowest price. And in addition to that, all data is city data, period.
Okay.
Good question.
Are there any other questions?
I have one. I forgot to ask about what is a transition process in the event we decide that it would be mutually beneficial to part ways. What's that, the transition? What does that look like?
Another good question. Again, I want to stress that all data is city data. So you would remain under contract. The contract's month to month. You would remain under contract. We would work with who you designate, if it was a city employee, another vendor, and we would ensure a smooth transition of services, period.
Thank you.
Are there any more questions? Seeing none, all those in favors, say aye.
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 All those opposed, that motion carries 5-0. Thank you, Mrs. The last agenda item is under our Parks and Recreation. Ms. Payne, would you come up, please? The operating schedule and fee structure for the 2018 Duncan Park pool season.
Hi, Mayor and Council. This agenda item is for Mayor and Council to approve the operating schedule and fee structure for the 2018 Duncan Park pool season with the addition of the $25 senior pass that was omitted off the document. 2018 fee structure and operating schedule reflects updates to the operating schedule and swim lessons.
Thank you. The motion needs to include the $25 for the senior pass. Is there a motion on the floor?
So moved.
Motion by Councilwoman Portis Jones. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Heath. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Seeing none, that motion passed 5-0.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mayor, can I ask you a question?
Yes, sir.
It seemed like we had to add that senior pass thing in the motion, didn't we?
Yes.
$25.
Yeah, why don't you go back and state it?
I move that we accept the fee proposal for the Duncan Park pool and splash pad, adding in the summer senior pass at $25 per person.
Okay, and it was seconded by? Mr. Heath?
Mr. Yeah, second.
Okay.
Sorry.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Again, that motion passed 5-0.
Got it.
That's the end of our council meeting for tonight, but we're going to do our council comments. We have an executive session tonight to deal with litigation. And we'll start our council comments with Councilwoman Portis Jones.
I just want to say Happy New Year to all those that I hadn't seen thus far. And appreciate you being present tonight and look forward to you engaging with the mayor and council for the betterment of our city. Thank you.
Councilman Palin.
I'm looking at the clock. You're not going to do this in 25 minutes. Let's keep it that
way. Councilman Smallwood.
Well, I just want to say thank the I just want to thank the citizens of Fairburn for putting me up here, voting me in. I look forward to working with this city. And a bishop of mine used to say that if you're the smartest person in the room, you need to change rooms. And I am among some smart people. I want to let Fairburn know that you are in some good hands with Fairburn, from the attorney to all my council members and mayor to everyone who's welcomed me aboard. This is a top-notch city, and I just look forward to learning so much and just serving this city well. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Councilman Heath?
I would like to say thank you for those people that voted for me and those that did not vote for me. I just want to say I want to earn your respect and everything, and know that I will work for you just as hard as I would for somebody that didn't vote for me. And I'm just so thankful to be here. You know, it was a tough battle. There was 10 people running. And so, like I say, it had to be a God thing, I think. I mean, that's just all it could be. I'm just so thankful, though, to be able to serve another 4 years. And just very thankful for the support that I had from a group of wonderful individuals that got out and worked for me and that also supported me. And I just want to tell you from the bottom of my heart, thank you. And also, my experience with the snow, you just have to know my area. Because used to, if it came a heavy rain, lights would go out. And I mean, they would be out sometimes for, you know, like all night long. And I sleep with a fan on, okay? And so it gets awfully hot a lot of times, and with especially in the summer with no air or anything. But I can truthfully say, since Mr. Ridgway put those things on the electrical lines, those breakers or whatever they are, closers, yes, I have not had a problem with my electricity at all. And it is just a wonderful thing, because the whole area where I'm at, I mean, there must be, I would think, 300-400 homes were in the cold or in the dark and stuff like that. Street lights are out and everything. And so it is just so nice to know that I can go to bed with confidence and know that I'm going to get a good, restful night of sleep. And but thank each and every one of you for coming out tonight. And I just appreciate the honor that you have given me. Thank you.
Mr. Whitmore?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. First of all, I'd just like to acknowledge our police and fire department chaplain, Pastor Taylor. It's good to see you, sir. And also, I'd just like to also let everyone in the chambers know that we just concluded 4 days at Mayor's Day. And let me tell you, when you have your public officials that take advantage of the training that is afforded us by GMA, that's letting you know that your money is being well spent. And each one of us that attended the classes this weekend, we are coming back with some additional knowledge and some things that we want to look at. And what we try to do is we try to see, well, what will fit best for our city here in the city of Fairburn. So it was a very enjoyable weekend. And I just want you to know, even your mayor, she was out there attending classes, and she received an award over the weekend, too. She completed her certificate of distinction of over 204 hours of training. And that lets you know that the head of our city is doing it. So we're proud of you, Mayor.
Thank you.
Also, I'd just like to say, Mr. Smallwood, welcome. It's a pleasure having you as one of my colleagues, sir. And I look forward to great things to happen in the next 4 years. Also, IT in the Box, we spoke over a year ago, and I recall it as if it was yesterday. And the city of Fairburn is looking forward to what your company can do for us, sir. And we're looking for you to start, and I think you're starting tomorrow. Whenever you start, we're looking forward to it. So thank you much, sir. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. I'm going to be very short. I'm pleased to report that the city administrator and I are working diligently on your behalf with past and present initiatives for the city. We completed last week customer service training for our employees, and we are very proud of that. Congratulations on your re-election, and welcome back, Councilwoman Hattie Portis-Jones and Councilman Alex Heath. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Congratulations to Councilman Ulysses Smallwood on your election to the council, and welcome back, my councilman, Mr. Pat Pallett. We're going to adjourn for a executive session that has to do with litigation. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Is there a second?
No second.
Thank you.